Luke chapter 19. We know the story about Zacchaeus. He heard that Jesus was passing by and he wanted to see Jesus. But he had a problem because they had a large crowd and he was such a small man in stature. But the Bible said that he climbed up a tree in order to see Jesus. That shows some determination. That shows some willingness to want to see the Master. And so I want to talk with you on this morning, looking past the hedge. Looking past the hedge. We need to see our true potential in our lives. And the people that was around Jesus was a hedge for Zacchaeus. But nevertheless, he found a way to look past the hedge. You and I don't know our true potential in life unless we look past the hedge. You remember Moses. Moses was in Egypt. And you know the story. He was drove out of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that God sent Moses back to Egypt. But Moses could not see his true potential because of the hedge in his life. You don't know what you can do or accomplish for God. But to have the hedge in your life that's keeping you from seeing your true potential. Notice the hedge in Moses' life. The hedge of the power of Pharaoh. The hedge of the size of the army of Egypt. But hear what God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God sees the potential in Moses' life that he is a leader, but Moses can't see it. There are a lot of times that people, even your parents, see your potential, but you can't see it. You just keep saying to yourself, I can't do this. I can't accomplish that. He began to make excuses. How many times in our lives that we make excuses why we can't accomplish what we need to accomplish? Notice in Exodus 3 verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses is saying, I am a nobody. I don't have the credentials to face a king like Pharaoh. He begins to make excuses. Notice in Exodus 3:12. So he said, I will certainly be with you, God said, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God tells Moses, I will be with you. But notice in Exodus 4:1, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses is just making excuses. Just like some of God's people. They say they can't do this or they can't do that. But notice, God turned the rod that he had into a serpent. And what did Moses do? He ran from it. Then God told him to put his hand in his bosom and it became a leprous. And he put it back and his flesh was restored. These were the signs that Moses was to show Pharaoh. But notice, the two signs was visible, but the third sign was to be performed when he got there in Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 9. These are the signs that you have thought would have convinced Moses. But even then, Moses still was not convinced. He was not convinced that God wanted to use him. Just like some of us this morning, we are not convinced that God wants to use us. We keep making excuses to God because of the hedge in our lives. Notice what Moses said. In Exodus 4:10, then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before, not since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Moses is making excuses. Remember now, Moses was trained in Egypt. His problem was that he never had to speak power. He never had to speak truth to power. He never had to confront a Pharaoh, but now he's making excuses. Notice in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Notice the Bible says that Apollos was an eloquent man. But notice in verses 26 of Acts chapter 8, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Hear the words of Paul. In other words, Apollos was an eloquent man, but he still didn't know the truth. I don't care how eloquent you are. If you don't know the truth, it won't do you no good. And God told Moses, I need you to go down to Egypt and confront Pharaoh. Whatever speech you can speak. See, we make that excuse. We make the excuses. I'm not eloquent. I can't do it. But notice what Paul said in Romans 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Notice what he say. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattery speech deceive the hearts of the simple. When you looking at a man because he eloquent in his speech, you better be careful because he can deceive you. God had asked Moses to go down there and flatter Pharaoh. Just go down there and speak to Pharaoh in your own vernacular. I don't have to try to impress nobody. But notice, Paul said in Colossians 2:4, I say this so that no one will mislead you with arguments that merely sound good. Now hear the words of Peter. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:3, in their greed, they will use good sounding arguments to exploit you. He said the verdict against them from long ago is still in force, and their destruction is not asleep. You got to be careful about people who sounds good. What are your potentials? What is it that God is requiring of you, and you saying to God, I can't do it? You saying to God that I can't do it. Why? Because you're looking at the hedges in your life. When you look past the hedges and see God, then you'll realize something. I can do anything when God is behind me. Notice, Moses wasn't listening to God. God is not blind, and God is not deaf. In Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And God knows all of our problems. And notice he said in verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God said, I heard they cry. I'm going to deliver them, but I want to use you, Moses, to deliver my people. Can God use you? Can God use us? Then God said, I will be with you. Moses was able to lead the people of God out of Egypt because he looked beyond the hedge and saw the power of God. When Moses stopped making excuses and began to look past the hedges in his life and saw the power of God, he was able to perform the task that God had required of him. You remember Gideon couldn't see his true potential because of the hedge in his life. The Lord said, you will save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. But notice what Gideon said in Judges 6:15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. What is he doing? He's making excuses because of the hedge in his life. He said, I come from a poor family. He said, not only that, I'm the least in my family. But notice, God said, I will be with you. And Gideon asked for a sign in chapter 7. And Gideon army of 32,000 reduced to 300. See, that's the real 300. You know the movie about the 300? This is the real 300. 32,000 men reduced to 300 to go out to battle. You see, when you begin to look past the hedges in your life, then you'll truly see the power of God. But notice, Gideon was able to look beyond the hedge in his life and was able to save Israel. My brothers and sisters, what are the hedges in your life? We can accomplish great things for God right here in this community, but we must have the courage to look beyond the hedges in our lives. Sometimes we say we don't have time. That could be a hedge in your life. I just don't have enough time to do what God requires of me. We need to make time. Make time for God. Don't let your inner voice talk you out of your mission for God. You know that inner voice will tell you, you can't do that. You have a desire to do something for God. And that inner voice keeps telling you can't do that. You don't have the credential. If I want to witness to somebody, that inner voice, don't do it. They're gonna tear you off. They're going to get violent with you. You see something wrong happening on your job. You don't speak up because the inner voice says you can lose your job. You got to look beyond, past the hedges in your life and see the power of God. When you know that the thing you are looking to do meets God's approval, you ought to go at it with 100%. God not going to never steer you wrong. Life is about growth. And a child of God must grow. You can't be satisfied just sitting in the same position doing the same thing. You're going to have to step out on faith. There are some things that God requires of you to do that nobody else can do it but you. But you just sitting around waiting for God to give somebody else the task. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. He said, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He said, the way you grow, you're going to have to desire the word of God. Just like a newborn babe who desires the milk from his mother's bosom, you're going to have to desire the word of God. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. You're going to have to understand that we're going to have to mature in Christ. And we can't let trivial stuff trip us up. I don't know what is the hedge in your life. I don't know what it is that's hiding your view from God. Only you know that. If you run back to your comfort zone, you miss the opportunity to grow. There'll be some time, there's going to be a time that somebody's going to ask you to do something in the house of God. Ask you to do something in a community. And you don't want to say, I can't do it. You don't want to say, that's not for me. We're going to have to step up if we're going to grow. Because what's going to happen, someone's going to come in here that's going to be fired up and willing to grow for God. And they're going to be doing things quick, and you've been sitting around for years, haven't done nothing. Now here's the devil going to bring some jealousy in your heart and cause you to try to stop the work. If we're going to grow, we're going to have to study the word. You may have ideas that can benefit the church, But you are allowing the hedge to block your view. Because somebody already told you. I don't know why you thinking that. Those brothers ain't going to go along with that. How you know what a brother's going to go along with? Unless you put it on the table. Unless you put it on the table. You have to go beyond what you have already mastered in order to grow. If you dissatisfied doing what you're doing, that's not growth. You got to remove the lid off your life so you can begin to grow. You can't grow with a lid on you. You can't grow. See, when you grow, you begin to stand tall spiritually. And when you stand tall spiritually, the hedges in your life begin to shrink. Same old hedges in your life. But because you begin to grow in Christ, you begin to stand tall and look past the hedges and see the power of God. God is powerful. God is able to move in our lives. But see, sometimes we think that God ought to move the way we want him to move. God knows what's best for our lives. When I look past the hedges in my life, I see God is leading me. You don't get praise and joy after you doubted God, and then God still came through for you. But when you continue to trust God, even though you don't see how it's going to happen, God is still working it out. When I look past the hedge in my life, I see God is with me. Therefore, I can do great things for the cause of Christ. See, when we helping people, we working in the kingdom. When we going and visiting people, nursing home, hospital, we are working in the kingdom. See, we look at those things as small stuff. But to the people who you talking with and trying to encourage, that's great for them. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And Paul ain't talking about I can shoot so many baskets. He's not talking about I can catch so many footballs. What he's talking about is spiritual things. He said, whatever it is that God have called me to do, I can do it. And whatever it is that God had caused you to do, you can accomplish it. But you got to look past the hedges in your life. We need not sink under any trials, for God can strengthen us. We need not yield to temptation. God will make a way of escape. You see, when we facing trials and tribulation, it is the time for us to shine. It is the time for us to show the world that we still can trust our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may abide to bear it. Notice what he says. He said, any temptation that come your way and my way, when we give in, it is not because God can't help us. He said that God will make a way of excuse, of escape, which means we really have no excuse. We really have no excuse from doing what God requires us to do. Remember in our lesson in the book of Ezra? Remember the Bible says that when they came to Jerusalem? And you remember what the Bible says, that the work on the temple has ceased. But then the Bible said they begin the work, but it took them 15 years to begin the work. Why? Because they were so busy taking care of their own private affairs that they forgot and neglect the temple of God. Notice that. We have to be busy about doing the things of God first. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. When you put God first, then God will take care of you. Don't be afraid of failure. People who are successful have to face failure in their life. So what if you fail? You just know one thing. Going that direction don't work. I got to go another direction. Everybody who put their hand to accomplish something wasn't successful the first time. Don't ever go through life without God, because God can see what you can't see. See, Moses was making excuses. Gideon was making excuses. But God already saw the outcome. See, God already know our potential. God already know the outcome of our lives. And if God will have a meeting with you and I one-on-one and begin to tell us the outcome of our lives, we couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle it. Because somewhere down the line, debt gonna show up. And so therefore, you don't want to know that. God, when nations can make war against Jehoshaphat, he was afraid. When the nations came against a king Jehoshaphat, he was afraid. But what did he do? He looked past the hedge and realized whom was his power source. You see, they came against Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat was afraid. But he wasn't afraid to the point that he allowed it to consume him. Because he was able to look past the hedge and realize that God is my power source. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. What did he do? He didn't run. What did he do? He began to fast. He sought the Lord. And God responded to his people in 2 Chronicles 20, 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. Oh yes, that's a great song. That's a great song. The battle is not yours but the Lord. But can you execute that? One thing to sing about it is a whole other thing to believe it. But God protected him. Jehoshaphat did not allow the hedge in his life to cause him to run. Instead, what he did, when he began to see God, he began to what? He began to grow and rise. See, God will lift you up so you can see past the hedge and know that he is God. When you can see past the hedge, your confidence level rise and you begin to say, I can do this. I can do this. Even if I want to make a good grade on a test. I don't come and say, pray for me that I score good on the test, but you don't study. That's not gonna happen. But I can accomplish what I need to accomplish because I prepared myself. And because I prepared myself and God gave me the strength to get out of the bed, I can do it. I tell my grandsons when I walk in them to school, what you shooting for? I'm shooting for an A. See, if you miss, B. That's the mentality that I try to put in them. You shooting high. And if you miss the A, you're going to have a B. See, we cannot be satisfied in our Christian walk. We got to continue to move on. We got to rise above the hedges in our life. God will give us the confidence. Hear the words of David in Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David said, I don't have to fear no man. I don't have to fear no situation. Because God is my strength. And when we walk around in life with that attitude, that God is my strength, that God will protect me, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to fear. So somebody say, man can take your life. He can take your life, but he can't take your soul. See, that's the problem with the world. The world, all they look from God is physical blessings. But God want to bless us spiritually. All of us ought to be teachers. All of us ought to be people who are leading other people to God. But if we allow the hedge in our life to block our vision, we're not going to go far at all. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. You begin to walk in confidence. And some people will say you are being arrogant, but you let them know, I'm not being arrogant, I'm just being humble. Be humble. God don't want us to be arrogant. God don't want us to be prideful. But be humble and carry out the things of God. What are the hedges in your life? And you've been saying to yourself, I've been trying to cut these hedges down, and it seems like they just don't want to go away. And the reason why it's not going to go away, because the hedges is not going to move. What need to move is you and I. And how we're going to move by trusting in God and allowing God to lift us up. And when God lifts us up, then we can see past the hedges. And then we can see the power of God. And you say to yourself, I don't know why I waited this long. I could have been way ahead of the game if I just would have trusted God and allowed him to lift me up so I can see past the hedges in my life. Zacchaeus, a small man, wasn't going to let anything stop him from seeing Jesus. And I guess the people around was not going to allow him to pay them any money so he can see. See, you can't bribe people who want to see Jesus. If they truly want to see Jesus, you don't have enough money in the world. So what this man does, he climbs up a tree just to see Jesus. How far will you go to see Jesus this morning? Will you climb up a tree? How far would you go? What would you do to see Jesus? Because rest assured, when we leave this world, we're going to face Jesus. Zacchaeus got his business straight with Jesus while he was alive. That tells you and I, we need to get our business straight with Jesus while we're alive. Because it's going to come a time that we're going to leave these old bodies. And the Bible said that we're going to have to stand before God. And when you stand before God, you want to make sure that you're right before the everlasting too late. So looking past the hedges in your life, what have we learned? Number one, as long as I'm willing to stay behind the hedge, I won't grow. I can't grow. The second thing we learn, my power source is not in myself or anything else, but in God. The third thing we learn, learn to let God be your eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. Stop looking at things through your eyes. And allow and look at them through the eyes of God. The fourth thing we learn, victory comes to those who move forward and not backwards. You ever saw a person crossing the finish line running backwards? No. You got to go forward. The fifth thing we learn, victory comes to those who hear God's voice. Way above his own. When that inner voice starts talking to you, You need to hear God's voice war over that. You need to say, to the inner voice, if you will, I hear what you're saying, but I'm looking past the hedge. God have a job for me to do, and I'm going to accomplish it no matter what. And the last thing we learned, remember that rod that Moses had in his hand? Moses' rod lost his identity. It was Moses' rod. But when he laid it down, it lost its identity. In Exodus 4:20, it became the rod of God. When we was baptized, we laid down our lives. And when we got up out of the baptism, water grief, we lost our identity and became the people of God. You need to make a decision. Have you sinned in any way this morning as a child of God? And the reason why? Because you could not look past the hedges in your life. God will forgive you of your sin if you acknowledge it to him. He wants you to repent of it, confess it, and he'll forgive you of your sin. But if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a member of the Lord's church this morning, then there are some denominational hedges in your life that you can't see past. And therefore, you're in a state of confusion and you're lost. But thank God that you're here this morning. Because God's going to give you some information that you can use to look past the hedge and see what you really need to do to be a child of God. Number one, the Bible says you need to have faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith come by hearing and hearing come by the word of God. What must I hear? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day because of our sins. And then the Bible says that once I have faith, then I need to repent. Luke 13:5, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you all likewise will perish. Then the Bible said that we need to confess Christ as being the Son of God. Jesus said, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Then the Bible said, I need to be willing to be buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of my sin. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to make a decision this morning. Somebody say, how old I have to be? You have to be able to understand what I just said. And if you understand what I just said, then you are a candidate for baptism this morning. But if you don't make a decision this morning and you know what to do, then you're in trouble. Because if you die today or tomorrow, you outside of Christ. And you can't be saved. I don't know where we get the idea that because I'm 13, 14, that I still got a whole lot of life to live. I don't know where you get that information from. Because there are people dying every day. And that don't care how old you are. But you can escape that. If you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, make the right decision for your life because you're not promised tomorrow. Whatever decision that you need to make this morning, I trust you make the right one before the everlasting too late. And we stand and sing the invitation song.